This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS. Now, Rick Preuss and Lee Cohen, two guys that invite you to rub their bellies. Yeah, go ahead, rub it.
Yeah, this is a story of things done.
It's 9:35, and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a returning guest on the line, Dr. William Schultz, who is the owner of the Schultz Veterinary Clinic in Okemos. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Schultz.
Good morning, Rick and Lee. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. Dr. Schultz, the reason we wanted to have you on the show is because when we're talking about Westminster and all of these great champion dogs, one thing that the public may not know is that Okemos is home to your practice, and you are renowned as one of the top veterinarians when it comes to the whole concept of reproductive breeding and what have you. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about your practice and what it is that you do?
Sure. We are basically a general practice, but we have a special interest in reproduction in dogs, and in the clinic, we do breedings on dogs with fresh semen, chilled semen, and frozen semen. We freeze semen on dogs, show dogs, and pets. And we can preserve that semen in liquid nitrogen for whatever it takes until the dog is due to be bred. And what this does for special dogs is they don't just pick a male. They pick a genetic background for a male. They pick a quality of a male. They pick a type, a coat type, a head type, a body type, and they have the ability to store the semen and then do a very, very specific breeding because they've been able to do this. And then and also with this, we can ship semen completely around the world. We have shipped it to Scandinavian countries, to France, to Italy, to I think Australia and Newfoundland, Newfoundland and Nova Scotia. Anything with an N probably is where it's been. But we ship semen a lot of places. What's interesting in shipping some of the semen is the frozen semen. We have to do a physical exam on the dog. Well, the only way you get the semen typically is when a dog is healthy. And then for Australia, we have to prove the dog is still healthy 30 days after the semen was collected. And then the semen, even frozen, has to be quarantined for several months when it gets there. So they have some very strange regulations for frozen semen. But we have had puppies from our mid-Michigan dogs all over the world, and we have imported semen from other countries here for breedings also.
So if you think about the genetic gene pool now on dogs, it comes from everywhere.
Yeah, certain breeds we have. Like a lot of breeds have been imported into the United States, have very, very small gene pools because only there might be less than 50 of this breed in the United States. And the problem is if you're staying here in the States breeding to that, then you're going to be doing some very serious inbreeding in these dogs. And so they need to bring in either semen or dogs from other countries to breed to open up the gene pool more.
Do you provide that counseling, or is there a whole network of information out there that these people are all connected with so that they can actually learn, you know, where to go and how to go with their dog that might have only 50 in Michigan?
Right. It's kind of both things. We help them along, but there are cofactors of inbreeding, and there are a couple of programs on the internet that the people can put in, the sire, the dam, the grandsire, and go back many, many generations, and it gives them a factor of a lot of breeders call this line breeding, but line breeding is a fine line to me between line breeding and inbreeding. Mm-hmm. And then how close is it? Is it grandfather to granddaughter? And a lot of these things in the human population are never done. But in dog world, they think we need to get this gene and get more of this gene in here to get a better dog. And unfortunately, sometimes as you double up on these genes, you double up on bad genes also.
Okay.
So they have to be very careful. And there are several programs. We used to have a geneticist here at State that helped a lot of people. He has since passed away, so we use people in other parts of the world to do this, and that's where the internet's wonderful for this.
And can you actually notice some of those genetic weaknesses and breed or not breed, father?
Correct. There are some of them, like seizure disorders, some thyroid diseases, some coat diseases, some genetic issues. You had Carol Bergman on recently, and in Newfoundland, they have some dwarfism genes, and they have a couple other kidney issues. There are now, for some of these, there are DNA testing. There are a huge number of DNA testing for dogs now, probably more than humans. maybe not, I can't be 100%, but there are many, many of these, mm-hmm. and you have the ability to test this gene and then stop that part of your breeding program. So they're very, very helpful. In some breeds, this has been miraculous changes, and in other breeds, some people choose to ignore that they have the ability to do this.
It's fascinating. Dr. Schultz, what made you get into this type of work? Was this fairly common, or, I mean, no. How did this whole thing evolve?
Well, what happened is, graduating from veterinary school in 73, my passion was orthopedic surgery, and I still do quite a bit of orthopedic surgery. We do some referral orthopedic surgery in the practice. But at the time, in Lansing, there were only one other clinic that did any reproductive work with dogs. And I happened to have a lady in my clinic who's now a veterinarian in Texas that had a kennel, and she had done a lot of artificial inseminations because she had some toy breeds. And some of these breeds need to be done artificially. And it's much more efficient, and you get better litter size, and you don't have issues with them being contaminated by each other. That's not a big issue, but it is an issue. And she assisted us in the first couple breedings we did, and because nobody else in town did it, we said, well, fine, we can do this, and this is really weird, but that's how it got started. So this is not something when you go to career day at school that you're going to discuss. Which I am doing a career day on Friday in Grand Rapids, and we won't bring that up. But it's a need. It's not like an overall pet population need, but what this is doing is this is allowing people to get the purebred dog they want that they know is healthy. And so we are providing a service that is a necessary service for these breeders. And the other thing is, say you're in Michigan and you have this breed that's a moderately rare breed and you want to breed to a dog in California, shipping that dog by air, driving that dog, that's a huge amount of stress on the dog.
Sure.
And shipping chilled or frozen semen just avoids that problem.
And in the United States, how many doctors have your level of expertise when it comes to genetic counseling like this?
Well, we have a society called the Society for Theriogenology, and that has 800 veterinarians that are members. And then the next level up, of which I am not board certified, but there are board certified people that are in the American College of Theriogenologists, and that in humans would be like an ophthalmologist or a gynecologist or a rheumatologist. These people have gone to specialty boards. In order to pass those boards, it's several years of intense work. At my age in practice, the timing of that just doesn't fit for me, but I do the work, the same work. I just haven't taken the boards to be a specialist in that, but I have a specialty in that level in my practice, dramatically higher than most veterinarians.
Interesting. And I know in talking to you in the past, you've said you've got people who actually come quite a distance in order to work with you. Talk a little bit about that.
Right. On a daily basis in our practice, we see people from Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Canada, other states, and we get dogs that get shipped in for breedings. Last week, we had a lady from Tennessee and another lady from Georgia that brought their dogs up to be bred. I've instructed and taught people in, we do a type of a breeding called a transcervical insemination where we use a scope, and it's about, we have two different lengths, obviously, for different sized dogs, and we go vaginally to the dog's cervix and we deposit semen inside the uterus. In vitros aren't done much in dogs because harvesting eggs and implantation it doesn't work well in dogs for some reason, but our implantation transcervically or surgically, we have great success with that. And so a lot of times with frozen semen, the people are happier to have us. We do timing on these bitches before they're bred, and blood is drawn every other day, and we check progesterone levels. And when the progesterone rises, we know the exact time to breed. And this is science that has come on in the last maybe 15, 18 years, 20, maybe about 20 years, I'd say, is when it started. And originally, we would breed dogs just, well, if they're standing and they're showing signs that they're ready to breed, you'd breed them. And that's so inaccurate that you rarely got pregnancies. And with frozen semen, the semen lives maybe 12 to 18 hours. So you have this very, very tiny window. When a dog's heat cycle lasts anywhere from 18 to 30 days, you have to pick the exact day, the exact time to put that semen in where it will get to the eggs and affect a pregnancy. And so that's where the level of training comes in. And that's the level that we try to do, and we make a big effort to get it done because that's why they're coming here.
And I would imagine there's a certain percentage success rate that you would have, and it, I don't know that it, that would be common knowledge, but I would imagine that somehow or another, pardon the expression, that would seep out, and the reality is that people are going to come to you because of that high success rate.
Some clinics have higher success rates than others.
Is that posted, or would one know that? Or
you do informal statistics. We've done computer searches and stuff, and we found out that if we're breeding with frozen semen, if you put frozen semen vaginally, success might be 20 or 30%. But when we do it surgically or transcervically, in a healthy female with healthy semen, we might be as high as 95% success. Nature put two dogs together in the backyard, it's about 85% success.
You're absolutely
and it'll always be 100% if you do not want the breeder. Yeah. You have to understand that.
Right. It's a fascinating science that you're in, and frankly, when you watch these dogs at the dog show this week, you can know that there's a lot of expertise that has gone into getting these dogs to where they are. So thank you so much, Dr. Schultz. We really appreciate your insight on the show this morning.
Thank you very much.
Oh, it's been our pleasure. And Rick, we're going to continue the conversation after the break with a very successful breeder from Williamston who has won Best in Show right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
Got some ideas, suggestions, questions? Email us at mmpets@1320WILS.com. Join our Facebook page at Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. You can upload your own pictures, make comments, and interact with other pet enthusiasts.